All right, Acts 12, Matthew 12. You're there? Say amen. All right. How could I didn't say how could a gondola. All right. Rebellious. All right, Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Bible says, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. After Easter. What's it talking about there? And then Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40. Now, these are the words of the Lord right here. This is Jesus Christ saying this. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He just told us it was 24-hour days. That's what he said, 3 days and three nights. The Lord just told us that. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. I pray you just help us. God, there's a lot of traditions going on right now, this time of year. And Lord, we just want to follow the Bible. Just pray you'd help us and learn from this. We're not mad at anybody, Lord. We just want to seek what your word says. And I pray you just teach us, please. And just help us to just follow you and be willing to listen and learn. And God, thank you for your mercy in each of our lives and teaching us and being very long-suffering with us, Lord, as we're often hard-headed. I know that I am. I ask you to forgive me for that. And please just help us just come along with you as we seek to follow your word and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are looking at Easter and the crucifixion. There's a lot of confusion in regards to Easter, the timing of the crucifixion. When did it take place? Even in churches like this, in Bible-believing Baptist churches, New Testament churches, there's a lot of confusion in this. And I believe this is due to the Protestant influence. And the Protestant influence came from the Catholic influence, because that's where they came out of. They protested out of the Catholic Church. And that's where I believe a lot of this influence has come from. You know, I mean, how many of you have been confused? You're like, how come Easter is like, you know, can be within like a 4 week time period every year? How come it, sometimes it's in March, sometimes, you know, it's in April? I mean, what gives? Wouldn't it, why isn't it just like the same basic time every year? You ever wondered that? Anybody ever said, how come it's always moving around? Why does it move around? Well, there's a reason for that, and we're going to get into that. I hope to answer some of the questions for you here about that. So, what's associated with Easter, and when was Christ crucified? Was it on Friday? We celebrate, Christendom celebrates Good Friday. Where'd that come from? Is it biblical? Again, I just want us to read what Jesus said right here. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, either he was telling the truth or he was lying. I mean, that's it. It's either it was 3 days and three nights and Jesus meant what he said or he didn't mean it. I mean, if he'd have just said 3 days and not listed the three nights, then maybe you could say, well, okay, we can count. You know, sometimes you mention a day and it counts as a partial day. Then you could say that. But that's not what he said. He said 3 days and three nights. He qualified it for us. He told us what it's going to be. He said it's going to be 3 24-hour periods. By adding that three nights, that defined it for us. So we're going to get into this. So first, let's deal with Easter. What is Easter? The term Easter itself is not Christian. Easter is Astarte, one of the titles of Beltis, the Queen of Heaven. Okay, that's what Easter is. And I'd recommend couple books here if I can. Oh, and I forgot what one of them is called. Anyway, Alexander Hislop's The Two Babylons, and the other one, oh man, it's by David Daniels, and I was looking at it today. I was just looking at it today. That one's an easier read. You know what it is? Okay, what year? Mystery Babylon, is that what it's called? Okay, so then that's the one to get, Mystery Babylon. All right, and the other one, David Daniels, that one's an easier read. I have it at home. I should have brought it. I forgot the title of it. I can get it to you later if you want. But those, they have a lot of information in regards to this. So Easter is Astarte, which is the Queen of Heaven, okay? That name is found by layered on the Assyrian monuments is Ishtar. So that's another name. Again, all this goes back to Babylon. All the religion you see today, the false religion you see today, it doesn't matter really where it's at. It all goes back to Babylon. It's all Babylonian. I mean, that's why there's going to be a one world religion. It's going back to Babylon, to the Tower of Babel. I mean, the worship of Nimrod is really what it's all going back to. So as you see it being this ecumenical movement, everything coming together, that's what's happening. I was just reading an article. Some of you may not know who this guy is, and that's a good thing. But his name's Hank Hanegraaff, and he lists him, his title, his self-described title is the Bible Answer Man. And he just joined the Greek Orthodox Church. He was, I don't even know what he called it, Christmasized or something is what he called it. And he became a member of a Greek Orthodox Church, which is essentially a Catholic church. I mean, that's what it is. There was the split between the East and the West. And basically, the Greek Orthodox said, we're going to keep everything that the Catholic Church has always had. We just don't recognize the Pope. And that's it. And by the way, the Pope and the head bishop of the Greek Orthodox Church, I believe it was this last summer, are patching things up and building things back together. And the Pope's having in all these Muslims and stuff, and it's this one world religion just coming together. You can see it happening. All right, anyway. So Ishtar, pronounced the same as we do by the people of Nineveh, Easter, Ishtar. Okay, adaptation of the worship. It's an adaptation of the worship of Beltane, Bel, or Moloch. All right, Judges 2:13 says of Bel, Baal, Moloch, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. That this thing goes way back, and this is what they were doing. When they forsook the Lord, they served Baal and Ashtaroth. Bel, Ashtaroth. According to Bill Schneblin in his book, Lucifer Dethroned, he said, Satanist covens require a human sacrifice from 1 to 25-year-olds. This is what Satanist covens require today in the worship of their false god. And in the Old Testament, children were offered to Moloch. It's still the same thing today. That there is no difference. It's just different names. And that's how it's always been. Leviticus 18:21 says, And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. God said, don't let your seed pass through the fire to Molech, because that's what they were doing, and Satanists still want that. They still desire that. They, according to Bill Schneblin, who was a Satanist, he says they still do it. And they're offering it to these same false gods. Nothing's changed. None of it's changed. And it all fits with paganism, Wicca. They all love the same dates on the calendar. In Notes and Queries, it said a number of men and women assembled at an ancient Druidic circle of stones on Beltane or May 1st. That's the worship of Bel, okay, May 1st. And draw lots through a blackened piece of bread for who will be sacrificed to Baal, okay? They don't actually do a sacrifice. They like to, but they mock sacrifice it. The person in ancient times was literally sacrificed, though. That's taken from the two Babylons. Hislop says, this worship of Beltane, Astarte, or Ishtar is the religious solemnities of April, as now practiced, are called by the name of Easter. So what they're doing right there is what is he's saying is the same worship of Astarte or Ishtar, and it's what's called Easter. Okay, that's what it is. This is where it comes from. So we're saying, what is Easter? Well, it's this. It's dealing with even child sacrifice. I mean, this is what it comes from. This is where it's brought from. Why does the date always change? Because this is how it works. Easter falls on the first Sunday. Okay, get this. On the first Sunday after the first full moon following the spring equinox. That's why the date always changes. I think the spring equinox, the equinoxes are every like 3 months. I think it's May 21st is March 21st is what it is. So Easter falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon following the spring equinox. Why? Don't we know when the Lord was crucified? for Passover. When's that? He was crucified on Passover. When is that? Who knows the date of that? It was Monday. It's the month of Abib, however you pronounce it, Nisan, Abib is what it said in Exodus, the 14th day of Abib, the first month for them. It's April. April 14th is what we would call it, but you get the Jewish calendar, the days are a little different. So it would have been on the 10th, actually. So just this past Monday is when it would have been. That's when he would have been crucified, was this past Monday. So we know that the Passover never changes. So why isn't the time we celebrate his resurrection, why isn't it in line with that? Now this year it just happens to fall that it would be in line with the first Sunday after the actual Passover. But the 4 years ago when we started this church, it was on March 31st. Why? Because it's after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. The first Sunday after the first full moon of the spring equinox. That's why it's always changing. By the way, that the pagans follow that. The pagans go after that. By the way, I hate to like ruin this for some of you, but that's what Christmas is on the 25th, because it has to do with the winter equinox, the winter solstice. Okay, that's not the actual date Jesus was born. Okay, it wasn't. So I'm just letting you know. Now, you know, the reason why we meet on Sundays is because every Sunday, every week, we celebrate the resurrection.
Amen.
It's not just one day a year. It's every week. Now, will I take advantage of the fact that the lost world is going to recognize that this Sunday is Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday? Yes, I absolutely will. Amen. We'll invite them here, for I have no problem with that, no issue whatsoever. Praise the Lord. If we can reach them, I want to. But we celebrate it every week. That's why we meet on Sundays. That's why we do it, because Sunday is it's a new beginnings is what it is. You start with Sunday's the first day of the week. You go through the 7 days of the week. You end on the Sabbath, which is a rest. And then you have the eighth day is new beginnings. Study 8 out in the Bible. Its meaning is new beginnings. The resurrection, new beginnings, new life. So why does Easter always, the date always change? Okay, because it follows the spring equinox. Because Easter is pagan, it's not Christian. I'm just letting you know. We know when the crucifixion was. It was April 14th, a fixed date. Leviticus 23:5 says, "In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." All right, so what about Lent? The 40-day abstinence was directly borrowed from the worshipers of the Babylonian goddess, still observed by the Yazidis or pagan devil worshipers of Kurdistan, who inherited it from the Babylonians. Okay, that's what Hyslop said at the time of writing the two Babylons in 1858. It was still observed at that time by the Yazidis or the pagan devil worshippers of Kurdistan. All right, that's probably not too popular to call people devil worshippers today, but look, if you're worshiping a false god, I mean, the Bible says if you have an idol, there's a devil behind that idol. You're worshiping a devil. So I'm just telling you what it is. So people that will have up these, you know, statues of Mary or whatever it is, whatever saint it is, it's an idol. They're bringing a devil into their house. They're asking for a devil into their homes. So remove that stuff. That's what the Bible says. Can you look that verse up for me, Brother Brad or Brother Josh? Will you look that where it talks about that there's a behind idols, there's a devil? It might not say behind idols, but if you can remember that, please, so I can give it to everyone. All right, so Lent, it's held in spring by the pagan Mexicans 3 days after the vernal equinox. Okay, there it is again, that, you know, spring equinox. It began a solemn fast of 40 days in honor of the sun. What? It has to do with the sun. Speaks of a sunrise service. Why would we do that? Why? We're going to get into the timing of the crucifixion and when he rose from the dead. But why would we do a sunrise service? Ezekiel 8:16. Go ahead and turn there if you would, please. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 16. Just let me know. Did you find it?
Well, there's two possibilities.
It's in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, I think.
Oh, I looked at the Old Testament. I was looking at either Deuteronomy 32 or 2
Ezekiel 8, verse 16 is where we're going to be. No. Maybe I don't think that's it. I should have looked it up before I got up here, but it just popped in my head. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Okay. But I say that the things, this is 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things with which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. So when they sacrifice it, what they're giving it to, their false gods, whatever it may be, it says it's a devil. If you look at verse 19, what say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. So when they're giving an offering to this idol, they're giving it to a devil. So behind an idol, whatever it may be, whatever statue it may be, it doesn't matter. God says it's a devil. They're sacrificing to devils. It's that serious. If you got that stuff in your home, remove it. Unless you want a devil in your home, go ahead. Amen. Keep it. I'm just telling you, this is what God says. I mean, he goes on to say that what... I just lost it. I turned the page. Sorry. So they sacrifice to devils, verse 20, and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So he says, separate from it. Don't have anything to do with it. You need to not have be a part of that thing. So if it's in your home, remove it. Don't bring it in. Don't bring it in. Why would we want a devil in our home? Why would we ask a devil to come into our home? Even if some family member gave it to us. Sorry, getting rid of it. All right, Ezekiel 8:16, you there? All right, it says, and he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. All right, remember, this is Ezekiel's vision. God picks him up by a lock of his head, and he takes him from captivity into Jerusalem to the temple. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs, get this, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. They're showing us something. God's painting a picture for us. He says, their backs. He didn't have to say that. He could have skipped that, left that out, but he said it. He said, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worship the sun toward the east. Wasn't that where the sun rises from? In the east? It rises in the east. It's at sunrise. They're having a sunrise service with their backs to the Lord. And when you see, understand where Easter came from, why would we want to do that? Now look, if someone's going to do it, that's fine. I'm not mad at them if they do it. But I know for this church, we won't do that because of this. It's like, we won't bring a Christmas tree in here. If you have one at home, fine. We have one at home, but I won't bring it in here. And I'm still up in the air on the Christmas tree. We might get rid of that. Every year I'm like struggling with it. So one year we might get rid of it. I don't know. But every year I'm up in the air, and I may teach us on that one day. All right, so Lent. It was observed in Egypt in commemoration of Osiris. Again, all this, it's all the same. It's Babylonian, okay? It's Ishtar. This is the mother-child worship of Isis and Osiris, Semiramis and Nimrod. Okay, they all fit together. A lot of, you know, all this Greek mythology and all these false gods of the old world, it's all the same. They're all worshiping the same false god, which is basically Semiramis and Nimrod and Tammuz. Okay, Nimrod, we know about him from Genesis. He's there in Genesis. He was really the first great ruler, and he's really the one that got Babylon going. He's the one that started that kingdom. And then he had his wife, Semiramis, and they supposedly had a son. Although after he was dead, she was, you know, whatever. There's all that story. But she ended up having a son, and she said it was Nimrod, you know, resurrected is what it was. So there you have the mother and child. What? That's where it comes from. Well, that's what they turned it into. The mother and child. All this came after. All right, so among the pagans, this Lent seems to have been an indispensable preliminary to the great annual festival in commemoration of the death and resurrection of Tammuz, which was celebrated by alternate weeping and rejoicing. Ezekiel 8:14. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. So this is, again, Ezekiel's vision here, and God brings him in. He says, here, let me show you these abominations. I mean, read all of Ezekiel chapter 8. God says, I'm going to show you some things. Let me show you the rest. It gets worse, Ezekiel. Just wait. Look at this now. And he just keeps turning and bringing him to one place after another and showing them this. And he sees, hey, at the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. What is this? This false worship of pagan gods intermingled with true worship. Intermingled with the worship of the one true God. That's what was happening right here. The devil's crafty. As we saw in 1 Corinthians, he says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. He's saying, this isn't to God. This isn't a sacrifice to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Look, he says, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. He says, don't bring that junk in the Lord's house. Don't bring that in here. He's talking about the Lord's table. He says, don't bring that into the Lord's house. You cannot have fellowship. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils at the same time. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You cannot be a partaker of them. They don't intermingle. They don't mix. When a church is doing that, if they were a church, they lost their candlestick. They've corrupted the ordinances. All right, so what about hot cross buns? How many of you heard of that? It's not really big around here. It's not so big here. It is a song because of what it is. That was the first song I learned in band, I remember. Yeah, on my trumpet. I had no idea what it meant, but I remember hot cross buns. I was like, that's weird. What is that talking about? Okay, it's a popular song in England. It really was popular in different places. Not so much here. It's not really that popular. Okay, these hot cross buns are used in worship of the Queen of Heaven. Okay, now, by the way, the Queen of Heaven is mentioned in the Bible not in a good way.
Right.
It's negative. It's false worship. It's the worship of Tammuz and I mix up all the names, but Semiramis and Tammuz and his Isis, whatever his mom's name is. But the Queen of Heaven is not a good thing. Okay, it's not good when it's used in the Bible, yet, you know, you got the Queen of Heaven Catholic Church. Where does that come from? Where are they getting it from? They're getting it from paganism. That's exactly where it's coming from. All right, so they're used in those hot cross buns are used in the worship of the Queen of Heaven, a goddess of Easter, as early as the days of Cecrops, the founder of Athens, which was 1,500 years before the Christian era. So let me just show us this here so we can see. This is what people in other parts of the country and other countries, here's what they do. These are hot cross buns. Okay, they make them like that, put a cross through them, a bunch of different styles. I thought you'd want to see that because around here, we don't really know. We don't partake of that, really. All right, this next quote is taken from a book. It's called A History of the Cries of London by Charles Hindley. So these are just the things that a Londoner growing up in London would hear being hollered out or whatever, okay? But between the cakes of Cecrops and the modern hot cross bun, there is a wide gulf of 3,400 years. This was written in 1880, so now 3,500 years. Okay, so it was 3,500 years before that. So you have 2,000 years since Christ plus 1,500 years. It was happening back then. They were doing these hot cross buns. And yet the one may be traced up to the other. There are some indeed who would wish to give the Good Friday hot cross bun a still longer pedigree and to take it back to the time of the patriarchs and their consecrated bread. And there are others who would go yet further and trace it to the earliest age of the world in a portion to Cain's sacrifice. We may, however, content ourselves with stopping short at the era of the Egyptian Cecrops, founder of Athens, who made his sweet cakes of flour and honey. Such cakes as these, as we learn from the prophet Jeremiah, were offered by the idolatrous Hebrew women to the Queen of Heaven. Jeremiah 7:18 says, the children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. This is what God's people were doing, partaking in this pagan worship. And God says, I'm not happy with that. Traditionally, these are eaten on Good Friday, which is a Catholic tradition. And the eating of the hot cross buns is followed by several superstitions. One of them says that buns baked and served on Good Friday will not spoil or grow moldy during the subsequent year. Another encourages keeping such a bun for medicinal purposes. A piece of it given to someone ill is said to help them recover. I mean, this is just what's the beliefs around it. All right, so now what about the eggs? What do eggs have to do with the resurrection? The egg is widely used as a symbol of the start of new life, just as new life emerges from an egg when the chick hatches out. Painted eggs are used at the Iranian spring holidays. Okay, why would the Iranians use painted eggs at the spring holidays? The Nowruz, that marks the first day of spring or equinox and the beginning of the year in the Persian calendar. It is celebrated on the day of the astronomical northward equinox, which usually occurs on March 21st or the previous or following day, depending on where it is observed. The painted eggs are symbolizing fertility and are displayed on the Nowruz table called Haft Sin, together with various other symbolic objects. Okay, take that quote with a grain of salt. It's from Wikipedia. It seems legit because of everything else I've studied on this. Why would they be doing the same type of thing when they're not Christian? That's right. They worship the same God. They worship an idol, right? Which isn't an idol, but a devil. But a devil. I'm just telling you, this is just where it's going. Just, I mean, because what have you ever thought? What do eggs have to do with the resurrection? I mean, when I grew up, I didn't even know. I didn't know which one was Christmas or Easter. But as I didn't care. This is just stuff we did. So I'm not saying everyone that partakes of these is a devil worshiper. That's not what I'm saying. But why are we as God's people being deceived by these things and really accepting of them? Right. Now, look, I'm just going to give you the information. I won't be mad at you if you want to go hide Easter eggs and do all that. Go ahead. Okay, but I know my family, we won't. We won't. But if you want to, go ahead. I'm not mad at you. I don't think you're the devil. I don't think you're worshiping the devil. I'm just telling you this is where it comes from, okay? So we can make an educated decision on it. So why would they be doing the same types of things that a so-called Christian holiday is doing? Well, because it's all centered on the worship of the Queen of Heaven and not the Lord Jesus Christ. In ancient times, eggs were used in the religious rites of the Egyptians and Greeks and were hung up for mystic purposes in their temples. All right, this is what Hyslop put up. Some sacred eggs, according to Alexander Hyslop. I mean, that looks Christian, doesn't it? The sacred egg of Heliopolis and Typhon's egg, taken from Bryant's Mythology, Volume 3, page 62. I mean, that just says the resurrection of Christ, doesn't it? What do you notice on the one on the left side? What's at the top? A crescent moon, right? Who else has that? Who else? Islam. All right, and then a egg circled by a serpent. It's funny, we were just talking about snakes. The boys saw a snake. Connor and Court saw a snake today in the little ditch we have over there. And I was like, man, nobody likes snakes. Who likes snakes? I mean, I don't know anyone that likes a snake. And Brother Brad, he's always got to be the antagonist. He's like, I do. I'm like, yeah, of course you do. But really, who likes snakes? Nobody likes snakes. I mean, you see a snake, you're just like, ah, snake. I mean, get away. I mean, who wants to be near a snake? No one really. There's always those weirdos that want to be around a snake. There's always that one guy, right? Okay, that wants to be around it. But really, no one likes snakes. I mean, what does a snake represent to most Christians? We hear of a snake, what do we instantly think of? The devil. So what does this have to do with Christianity? What does this have to do with the resurrection of Christ? Hyginus, the keeper of the Palatine Library at Rome, said this: an egg of wondrous size is said to have fallen from heaven into the river Euphrates. The fishes rolled it to the bank where the doves, having settled upon it and hatched it, out came Venus, who afterwards was called the Syrian goddess. This is Astarte, okay? Hence the egg became one of the symbols of Astarte or Easter or Ishtar. Two Babylons, page 109. The occult meaning in one aspect had reference to the ark during the flood as a chick being kept safe. That's the occult meaning in one aspect referenced the ark during the flood. The second aspect representing the whole world, Noah's family coming out of the ark. The supposed greatest blessing to the human race which the ark contained was held to be Astarte. I mean, that's the analogy they're making, is that it's actually Astarte. It wasn't, you know, God's promise and all that kept through Noah, but they're saying it was Astarte. Astarte was worshipped as the mother of mankind or the queen of heaven. Okay, although this deified queen had no existence until some centuries after the flood. And by the way, they added the mother and child after Christ. It wasn't, because people argue and say, well, oh, that's where they took the virgin birth from. They stole it from ancient mythology. No, nowhere in history has it ever been proven that that was taught before Christ was born, before Jesus Christ. That was beginning to be taught afterwards. All right. Although the deified queen had no existence until some centuries after the flood, the Roman Catholic Church adopted this mystic egg of Astarte and consecrated it as a symbol of Christ's resurrection. So that's where the egg so-called became Christian. But how did the Roman Catholic Church even start? Who really kicked it off? Who knows? Constantine was a Roman pagan. I mean, Constantine's the one that kicked that thing off. And he wedded the state and the church together. He brought them into one with himself as the head. And he brought his pagan beliefs and welded them to Christian words and phrases. That's what happened. That was the beginning of it. And so hence we have all this mixed up nonsense. And that's why Hyslop called it the Two Babylons. Because he's saying what Roman Catholicism is Babylonianism. It's ancient Babylon worship. That's what it is. So if we understand that, it'll help us. They even appointed a form of prayer, the Roman Catholic Church. Bless, O Lord, we beseech thee, this thy creature of eggs, that it may become a wholesome sustenance unto thy servants, eating it in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is taken from Omni Vivum Ex Ovo, All Life Comes From an Egg, the Milwaukee Catholic Cemeteries. They said this: people around the world, since long before the coming of Christ, have observed traditional spring rites for a season of new growth and fertility begins. Symbols and myths go back far into the distant past of humanity. The Romans had the proverbs, Omni Vivum Ex Ovo, All Life Comes From an Egg. All right, so the egg. What about the bunny? Right? Because, I mean, I see a rabbit and I just think the resurrection. Don't you guys? No, who thinks that? That's not what we think. So where did that come from? All right, in ancient times, it was widely believed by Pliny, Plutarch, Philostratus, and Aelian, that the hare was a hermaphrodite. The idea that a hare could reproduce without loss of virginity led to an association with the Virgin Mary. Eggs, like rabbits and hares, are fertility symbols of antiquity. So eggs and rabbits have always been symbols of fertility in just throughout antiquity or time past. Since birds lay eggs and rabbits and hares give birth to large litters in the early spring, these became symbols of the rising fertility of the earth at the vernal equinox. And I mean, that's what the pagans are celebrating during it. Wiccans, I mean, it's new life. I mean, that's what it is. The spring is new life, and so that's where it comes from. Rabbits and hares are both prolific breeders. Female hares can conceive a second litter of offspring while still pregnant with the first. The phenomenon is known as superfetation. Lagomorphs mature sexually at an early age and can give birth to several litters a year, hence the saying to breed like bunnies. It is therefore not surprising that rabbits and hares should become fertility symbols. Makes sense, okay? Or that their springtime mating antics should enter into Easter folklore. Again, that's all taken from Wikipedia. Take it with a grain of salt. But, I mean, as you read, obviously, you can study the history. And that is, I mean, what's been associated with eggs and with rabbits has been fertility rites. And with the spring, they're associated with that because they, you know, have babies like rabbits. I mean, they're just boom, they're there. Whoa, where'd all these rabbits come from? If you've ever had rabbits, I mean, they just multiply like crazy. And you're like, whoa, we got to stop this thing's getting out of control here. I mean, that's what happens. So they took that because they worship the earth. I mean, all of this fits together. They worship the earth, so they worship these creatures, and they model their religion after this earth worship and seeing these things, and they bring it in. And by the way, you study the Bible, you study what was going on in Paul's day, and they've got these, what were they called there, the temple prostitutes. That's all part of their worship. It had to do with sexual rites in their so-called worship of their god, Diana of the Ephesians. I mean, these temple prostitutes, that the women were required to go and be a part of that. They had to, I think it was like they had to give like a year of their life to that. What? In worship. And then you've got places like Corinth where, you know, it was a hub of transportation. People were traveling in there. So you've got all these men traveling on all these ships and stuff. And, well, man, let me go worship God. Going into these houses of prostitution. By the way, all this stuff is still going on within Wicca, Satanism. It's all still there. That's part of their so-called rites, R-I-T-E-S, their worship that they give to their false god, to a devil. It's all there. All right, so that's Easter now. What about, or the things associated with Easter, what about a Friday crucifixion? Again, Matthew 12:40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, this will help us we understand this. The Jewish day is from sunset to sunset. Okay, Genesis 1:5. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. They take it from this right here because God said the evening and the morning were the first day. So their day essentially is, you say sunset, but you can say 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Okay, so like right now it's 8. So they would, what is today, Wednesday? They'd consider to, right now Thursday. Right now would be Thursday to a Jew because the day starts in the evening. 6 to 6 or sunset to sunset. So you may want to flip in your Bible. I've got it printed up in mine. Go to Mark 15:25. Christ was on the cross for at least 6 hours, but he was taken down before sunset. Before sunset. Mark 15:25, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. Matthew 27:45-46. You might want to just write this down. Matthew 27:45-46. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. So that takes you from 12 to 3. There's darkness over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? John 19:31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. And that right there is what throws everybody off. That's what they say, it's Good Friday. So they try and fit 3 days and three nights. From Friday to Sunday morning. It doesn't work. Now the reason they get all messed up is because they don't know their Bible. I don't understand these preachers that go up saying Good Friday. I don't get that for the life of me. I'm not going to teach something false just because, you know, everyone wants to accept it. Right. Why don't we just teach the truth and then they can come along with the truth? Amen. But the truth's never been popular, even when it's something like this. I mean, man, how obvious is that? Why is this even a thing? Why do I even need to talk about this when it's just right there? Because of the false teachings that are out there. I mean, how do you get 3 days and three nights from Friday before 6 to Sunday? They get there in the morning and he's already resurrected. How do you get that? He said in Matthew 12:40, that he was going to, just like Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, if he'd have just said 3 days, then okay, we could go with the Good Friday. You could. Because we count a day as a partial day. You know, we all do that. All of us, even today, will do that. So you could say, okay, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But that's not what he said. He said 3 days and three nights. So did Jesus mean 3 days and three nights? Or do we have to doubt the Bible and twist the scripture to get it to fit this Good Friday theory? Many commentators reckon a fraction of a day as a whole day. They falsely assume the Sabbath means Saturday every time. That's their biggest mistake, is that just because it says right there in John 19:31 that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, they falsely assume that that Sabbath means Saturday every time it's mentioned. The Bible nowhere says he was crucified on Friday. It says he was crucified the day before the Sabbath. Mark 15:42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. That's what it says. It was the day before the Sabbath. And based on this flawed understanding, we get Good Friday. What it was a high Sabbath, meaning a Passover Sabbath. That with the Jews, any holy day that they had was considered a Sabbath. No matter where it fell in the week, it was considered a Sabbath. So if they had it on Friday and then the actual Sabbath came up, then bam, they had two that week. So this was a high Sabbath, a Passover Sabbath, which came on Thursday that week. It happened on Thursday. Turn with me to Leviticus 23, verse 5. All right, let's just start in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Leviticus 23, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. Verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. He said that's a holy convocation. Okay, it's a Sabbath. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. That's what he's saying right there. Verse 8, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. He calls that the same thing as he called the weekly Sabbath, a holy convocation. From verse 3, it's a Sabbath. Any holy day was a Sabbath. That's what God's talking about right here when it mentions that they needed to be taken down before the Sabbath. It was the Passover Sabbath. The Bible does not leave us to speculate whether it was a weekly Sabbath or the Passover Sabbath. John 19:31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. It was different from the weekly Sabbath, is what he just told us. It was not the weekly Sabbath. To sum it up, we're going to look into all this. Let me read you this quote right here. This is from James Crumpton. He says, it is good for us to note the difference in the Roman day, the Jewish day, and our present day. The Roman day began at 6 a.m. and closed at 6 the next morning. The Jewish day began at sunset and closed at the next sunset, or from about 6 p.m. to the next 6 p.m. Our day begins at midnight and closes the next midnight. That's what kind of messes us up on some of this stuff, some of the timing in the Bible. You have to understand what's going on. So for the Jew, again, it was from sunset to sunset. So I want us to look at this chart right here. It's going to help us. I need my pointer. I hate not having my pointer. All right. So the Lord's Supper happened on Tuesday night. They arrest him. And then at 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning, he's getting crucified. He's on the cross for at least 6 hours from 12 to 3. It's complete darkness. He dies at 3. That's when he cries out and gives up the ghost at 3 o'clock, the part in red right there. And then they get him off the cross and they get him buried before sundown because it was a high Sabbath day. Why? Because the Passover was taking place at sundown on Wednesday or their Thursday. Does that make sense to you? You following me? Can you bring me up that remote, Kiko or Isaiah? Will you run the TV remote up so I can have that pointer for me? If you would, thank you. Yeah, this should work right here. No. There we go. All right. Oh, I like that. I have to end up leaving this up here. Isn't that neat, technology? Okay, so where was I? I don't even know where I was. I got all excited with the technology. Okay, so he's crucified right here. That's 3 p.m. They take him down, get him buried before sundown, Wednesday. But that starts their Thursday, right? Jewish Thursday? Okay, the Sabbath started right there at sundown on our Wednesday, but that starts their Thursday. Remember, 3 days, 3 nights, right? That's what Jesus said. He's going to be buried 3 days and 3 nights. Following me? Okay, so let's get this thing over here. So the first day, sundown to sundown. So our Wednesday to Thursday, which is the Jewish Thursday, is the first day. And then he goes from Thursday to Friday, sundown to sundown is the second day. And then Friday to Saturday at sundown, which ends their Sabbath, because their Sabbath starts on our Friday. So it starts right here. Their weekly Sabbath, let me say, starts on our Friday and ends on sundown on our Saturday. That ends their weekly Sabbath and starts Sunday. He's resurrected after this sundown right here on Saturday. You get 3 days and 3 nights. Okay, you have a day, a night, a day, a night, a day, a night. Or you could, sorry, back it up. A night, a day, a night, a day, a night, a day. There we go, because he's resurrected. You following what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? Everybody getting it? Okay, that's why it wasn't Good Friday. How do you get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday at sundown right here? So he's put in right before sundown. You get 3 days and 3 nights from here to here? I'm not great at math, but that's like a day and a half, a day and a quarter. How do we get 3 days and 3 nights from that? We don't. Some people say, well, they showed up in the morning and he was resurrected. He was already resurrected when they got there. We don't know when he got up. We don't know when. We just know it was on the first day of the week. He was 3 days and 3 nights in there. So you have it right there, that Wednesday, that night to the day, night to the day, night to the day, he's resurrected. You understand what I'm saying? I hope you followed all that. I hope that made sense. I tried to put this chart, kind of study that. You'll figure it out. It's a little bit to think about, but that's how it worked out, and this happened. So actually, I think tomorrow would be the day he resurrects, if I remember when I was looking at it right, is the actual day that his resurrection, or now, I guess, is when he would be getting resurrected, would be right now, because it happened on Monday. He was put in. You following me? I hope. Hope it's making sense. There ain't no way that you can fit 3 days and 3 nights from Friday to Sunday. Good Friday is nonsense. It's not biblical. It is not biblical for us. So he died before sunset on Wednesday. He had Wednesday evening to Thursday evening a full day, Thursday evening to Friday evening a full day, Friday evening to Saturday evening a full day. The two Marys show up and it's still dark and he's already resurrected. Matthew 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Maybe you're asking, well, what did he do all night? Well, likely what he normally did all night, pray. I don't know what he did. I imagine he prayed though. So, it's before us. What are we going to do with some of the traditions we practiced? I don't know. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask God what he wants you to do. But we have what the Bible says about it, where the origins of these things are. And look, I'm not mad at you. You do whatever you want. I just know that I don't have a problem saying that even when it's off, the day's off, saying it's Resurrection Sunday, I don't have a problem with that. I'm okay with that. And I'll use that to help reach people. I'm fine with that. But just we know the truth. Just understand, here's what the Bible says. And I mean, I may change on that one day. I don't know if the Lord tells me change, you're wrong, then I'll change. But as of right now, that's where I'm at. And we won't have an Easter egg hunt here or anything like that. We won't do that. Why do we need to bring that stuff into the Lord's house? I mean, we just ought to think of that. We just ought to think about it. And as much as we love some of these things, and I mean, I grew up doing all this stuff. Should we? This is sometimes why people want to remain in ignorance. They say, I was good when I didn't know. Why'd you tell me? Now I have to make a decision. Yeah, but my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let's pray.